This Civic Media podcast is sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. Organ donations are desperately needed, and now is the right time to become an organ donor. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Go to heroicdeed.com.
Broadcasting across the state of Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and around the world on the Civic Media app, this is the Dom Salvia Show. And now, here's your host, Dom Salvia.
It's not Dom.
No, it's John and Gordy.
We're filling in for Dom.
From WMDX, we broadcast the morning show.
From Madison.
Capital City.
From the Civic Media Radio Network headquarters.
2 hours early in the morning.
Yeah.
We're the best kept secret of Civic Media. We were anyway.
Well, you opened the political talk show lineup of the day, and we close it.
That's right.
That's exactly right.
Exactly. Jess.
Yes, and we're getting ready for Thanksgiving, you know, tomorrow. Everybody's hitting the roads tonight. And
got a little story about that.
Yeah?
Yeah. It wasn't a good family get-together. Let me just say that.
Oh, no.
We'll talk about that in a little while.
We'll get to that, but yeah. I just want to get to a few texts here. Lynn from Oconomowoc says, happy Thanksgiving. We bring jobs back. We have an aging population, labor shortage, dairy trade wars. Trump subsidized farmers for about $32 billion the last time around. No, that's not inflationary at all.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Cam from Appleton says, we don't hear anything about Canada. They're dealing with a massive Indian and Pakistan issue presently. They want to report. I don't know about that one. I didn't know.
We're taking your calls and texts at 855-752-4842.
Feel free to give us a call.
4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC. And now it's time to welcome in our guest this time around. It's Jim Santel, attorney and host of Amicus, a law review. Jim, good to have you with us again.
Gentlemen, good to be with you. It seems like it was just yesterday. Oh, in fact, it was.
Right? That's right. Yes, on our morning show here.
Delighted to be a part of your morning show. Whenever you are on Civic Media, I'm there with you.
I know. And the last time you were here, you went on a rant. You were not happy about anything that Jack Smith had done or wanted to do.
Or Merrick Garland.
Or Merrick Garland.
Department of Justice kind of just dropping off those cases and putting them in the files.
Right. So now that you've had a little time to absorb what happened.
Yeah, now how do you feel?
Yeah,
how
calm you feel down, now? Right?
Yeah. Well, it seems you're still healthy and not drinking heavily. Tell us about your impressions about, you know, letting all of this stuff go. It seems like somebody is above the law, and that's never been true in this country, that, you know, everybody, the law applies to everybody. And now we found out that it's not true anymore. This is such a dramatic change from what we know as, you know, the United States, the country, the Constitution. It's a complete change.
I think that's right, John. And again, many, many things to take away from events, obviously, the past 2 years, but that's one of them, right?
Right.
The Supreme Court tells us 6 months ago, 5 months ago, that we have quite literally an imperial president who, as Sonia Sotomayor said, has a ready gun in the West Wing, ready to go off if he or she chooses to use it. And one can make the argument, again, reasonable people can differ on these things, that when the Department of Justice abandons legitimate 2 years of prosecution returned by a federal grand jury, actually grand juries, plural, probable cause to believe that the former president, future president, has committed crimes, and they do it because he's going to be the next president. He's going to be the next president. That fundamentally tells me that the presidency is indeed a position that one can aspire to, and you can aspire to that, and you can get rid of your criminal exposure. And that's coming from the Department of Justice. That's the Biden administration. That's Merrick Garland saying that now. And I know they would not embrace that theory. They would be jumping all over me. But when you step back, as we begin to do in the wake of this national nightmare we've been through, that's one of the takeaways, that, again, complicit and accepting of things, and permitting, obeying in advance, as we've talked about so often, indicating that he's going to be the president. And for the next 55 days, while he's not the president, we're going to give him the benefit, not just the benefit of doubt, we're going to give him the benefit of a policy that doesn't apply, get rid of these cases, and effectively say that this is the one person in America who is, John, as you've just said, above the law.
Absolutely. John Stewart had an amazing analysis a little while back, and he looked at the difference between the parties. And one party seems to be looking at not just the law, but the loopholes for every law that's out there. Now, there's a loophole for almost every law.
Sure.
And then there is a party that deals with the third mark, and that is the norm. And what you're talking about here in the Justice Department and this rule that they have is the norm. This is being very polite. We can't do this to a sitting president. Well, he's not a sitting president yet, but he's going to be, so we're just going to let these cases go. Well, you know, this norm thing is really getting in the way. It's blocking a lot of what we can do or demand from our government at this point, isn't it?
I think that's right. And when you take the norms, which are important, not only the legislation, the rule of law is important. When you take the norms, as you have just said, and you distort those norms, question whether you're doing anything other than what the first group that you just identified, the Republicans, are doing. Because again, you're taking here a principle that does not apply right now because he's not a sitting president. And you're also then saying that the American public, and this is my principal beef, as you know, the American public will not get an opinion on whether or not the Supreme Court case precludes the prosecution of him, will not get an opinion from the 11th Circuit about whether or not in the future, whether these special counsels are legitimate. Those are important things for the American population to know, recognizing that neither one of those cases, need to be very clear, we all know, these cases are not going to trial. One way or the other, they will be gone in 60 days. But it's important in terms of the rule of law, the norms in our nation, that we have resolution to these things, and that the law, the judges, the principals, the litigants, the lawyers, tell us what that law is all about. And that's what the Department of Justice has abandoned. And that's the norm that they have not followed up on. And that's what's so concerning.
Right. And determine that, you know, all of this is without prejudice. We can return to this case, but it's absolutely not going to happen.
Absolutely. And, right. And here's my shot then again at this, you know, against the, the mainstream media here. And I do not include everybody in this, but, you know, there were efforts doing backflips on Monday night to try to explain this. Oh, it's not. So I had to do it compelled by policy. One of the things that a lot of the commentators brought up, well, this is without prejudice. And what that means is that it can come back at any time, that a prosecutor can bring it back. And again, the honest people on those media outlets said, well, when you dismiss something, you're not suspending the statute of limitations. These events happened in 2001. And yes, you filed the charges within the statute of limitations. It's way beyond that, going to be way beyond that very, very shortly, if it isn't already, in terms of prosecutions here. The notion that somehow you could bring this back in a couple of years and file, who's going to do that?
Yeah.
Not the Department of Justice.
Right.
That's just ridiculous. And so let's not even talk media about how that will soften the blow here. The other piece that they talk about, of course, is the fact, and this is a part of his obligation, he will put together a report. And that will be interesting, and we should talk about that. Mm-hmm. We have pretty much seen in his omnibus filing already with the judge what this trial was going to be all about. And that's significant, but it also doesn't, a report by the special counsel issued sometime between now and January 20th is not a prosecution. And it's not a resolution of these outstanding rule of law issues. Mm-hmm. And I'm looking at, again, I'll show it to you here. This is the New York Times. End of Trump cases leaves limits on presidential criminality unclear.
Yeah,
we don't get that. And again, some of the media understands that. None of those sort of red herrings should compel us to be happy and somehow embrace what has happened here.
Well, we saw the Mueller report that ended up doing nothing at all. Mm-hmm. You know, then Trump said that he had nothing to do with Russia, even though, you know, Russia was indicted in that. And I think five or eight people, Russians were indicted.
Absolutely.
But at the same time, then we have a situation where Trump is going to be 82 years old, and they're not going to want to prosecute an 82-year-old when he gets out of office. So that is also a possibility of, you know, saying, well, then we might as well let this go. But the other thing, too, is we saw the reports from the first impeachment. We saw it from the second impeachment, and none of that mattered. None of it. And we didn't have to go through this if the Senate had done its job and took these things seriously.
Absolutely. And I include, again, those people in the House of Representatives. Early on, you speak about the Mueller report. Bob Mueller said he couldn't prosecute because of this policy. You don't prosecute a sitting president. And what he did was he said, Nancy Pelosi, Speaker of the House of Representatives, here's your opportunity. And he laid out a clear case. That was a case that was not the subject of an impeachment. We did not deter him early on. We instead waited for the Ukraine matter, which is a far less compelling case. And we did that one. The Senate did nothing with that. And then once again, we finally did January 6th, both as a prosecution and as an impeachment. And nothing has come of those either. Mm-hmm. And so there's a lot of responsibility to be spread around here, including, and I understand the frustration of an awful lot of people out there, and frankly, all sides of the political aisle, who are upset at a system that fundamentally just doesn't hold someone accountable, regardless of whether you're the next president or not. All those defendants out there who are sitting anticipating trials, what do we think about them? What do we think about the jury that spent 7 weeks? Again, this is moving from the federal cases to the New York case. That jury in New York spent 7 weeks and suffered threats and suffered concerns, made this determination. And now it looks as if, hasn't been happened yet, now it looks as if that one's going to go away too. What do we tell people about the significance of the jury system when they're called in to be members of a jury? Right. Are they going to say, is my work going to go for naught? Those are the lessons that, unfortunately, all of this sends beyond just Donald Trump.
And Trump getting off, and then, of course, he's going to let all of the insurrectionists loose as well.
He's got virtually carte blanche when it comes to the pardon authority. We'll see that. 1,200 people, a lot coming in. And that is unfettered authority. Any president can do that. The question is that a good exercise of discretion?
All right, Jim. Thanks for joining us today.
Jim Santel. Always.
Amicus Law Review. Check it out on Saturday morning, 9 to 11.
Always a pleasure, gentlemen.
All right. Thank you, Jim. Back with more of the Dom Salvia Show with John and Gordy sitting in just a moment.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
This is the Dom Salvia Show. John and Gordy filling in. From WMDX in Madison.
We're taking your calls, 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC. And we asked Attorney Jim Santel to stick around here because we got a question we were going into break.
That's right.
And I believe Dick is on the line from Madison with a question or a comment. Go ahead, Dick.
Yeah, I would love to ask James this. Okay, here's a guy who's with the abortion issue. He wants to go to states' rights, correct?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, so, right?
When that is the case, when we got 34 counts in the state of New York, how come we can't just let the state of New York deal with this? Does the federal government just to get to supersede this and his stack Supreme Court, make it go away, put it in his face and go, hey, you are all about states' rights and when it comes to the abortion issue, let each individual state take care of it. How about on this?
Right, right. And Dick, I would say that both your civics and your constitutional sense are spot on. Again, you're talking again about a case that is not federal. It is pending in the state of New York. This is a case in front of Juan Merchan. He was supposed to have sentenced Donald Trump yesterday morning, and that has not happened because apparently we're scratching our heads now, Dick, in exactly the way that all of us are, and saying, maybe that federal decision about immunities prevents us from going ahead, and he's going to be the president of the federal government of the United States, and therefore we can't go ahead here. I think you've got a very good point here about states' rights and the independence of the New York court to do what it should do. It is not subject to oversight by a president. There is this thing, of course, called federalism, and yes, the supremacy clause having to do with the supreme law of the land. But your point is well taken, Dick, and it's one that I think we need to discuss more when it comes to that New York disposition. It's still pending right now, but it sure looks as if Juan Merchan is going to either dismiss that one or even arguably even, but just as incredibly, send it off, put it on the file cabinet for until 2029, and then do years of sentencing and appeals into the 2030s. Which again,
might leave it in a restroom.
Justice. Yes,
might leave it in the restroom someplace. You
know? All good points, Dick.
All right, Dick, thanks for calling. And Jim, thank you for sticking around for the phone call.
Great to be with you. Thanks.
We'll have you
Happy Thanksgiving, everybody.
Soon. All right, you too.
Yes, thank
All right.
You.
Now,
All right.
Speaking of holidays, you know, I spent last weekend celebrating a holiday early. Our Christmas get-together, family get-together took place.
Who was in this little get-together?
Well, my brothers, younger brothers, they're twins, and my older sister from Long Island. And you know, they bought their airplane tickets in November, for November, because they were a little less expensive. So that's why we got together so early. Now, I hadn't heard from them. We're not a close family. So I don't know if that's any indication, but at the dinner table, when everybody was done and a few people had left, my brothers, my younger brothers were sitting there, and I said, you know, I mentioned a case about what Trump might do to colleges and school funding, and they just looked at me, and they said, well, we'll see. I said, what do you mean, we'll see? Yeah, obviously. You
really?
Know, the people that he wants to put in place in his administration, they're crazy people. And they didn't seem to blink an eye. And I said, well, what about this nominee and that nominee? Yeah. And they said, well, we'll see what happens.
Wait and see, huh?
I'm just
wait
like,
and see.
What is this?
Couldn't get an answer out of him. But
well,
just kicked it down the can.
I was stumped. And then I realized all of a sudden that my brother, who's gay, and has been very liberal, democratic. We've talked many, many times about this. He voted for Trump.
No.
And they,
really?
Yes. Yes, absolutely. And it's...
Why?
The thing is, I don't know. I didn't get into that. I tried to get into that. I tried to understand what their thinking was. And I brought up a few other examples of why it's a bad idea to have voted for him. And they just sat there very calmly, almost like they were possessed by some kind of alien plant, that they just simply said, well, we'll wait and see. You know,
what about your older sister?
We saw. We had
4 years of it. That's what I brought up. And, you know, that didn't matter. In fact, that was just a blank stare. They didn't say anything to that. My sister, she wasn't in the room at the time.
Oh, okay.
She's very liberal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So she wasn't there to back you up or anything.
No. Well, I was starting to get really upset. And I thought, well, I'm going to calm down because my brothers seemed that, you know, they were just numb. They weren't going to say anything. Mm. And they just sat there and looked at me very calmly, but very intensely at the same time. And they were just saying, we'll wait and see. They said a lot of things. They're not going to do all those things. And if they did want to do those things, they probably won't get a chance to do it. So we'll just wait and see.
So your one brother who you thought would vote for Democrats didn't.
Right.
Well,
the other one, he worked for Uline.
Oh.
And the Ulines beat out Elon for contributions to Trump's campaign. Wow. And he picked up a little bit of that conservative feel. And I would assume that he voted for Trump just to see what would happen. You know, why not just throw caution to the wind?
So that was your Thanksgiving. Yeah. You going to get it together for Christmas? Get the whole family to get back?
No.
No?
No, that's it.
You're done.
I'm not going to discommunicate them. Okay. I'm just going to take a break here. I'm just going to relax. I'm not even going to bring it up to them next time. I'm just going to let this thing play out and we'll all wait.
You're just going to wait and see, huh, John?
By the way, that's what I told him. I said, you know what? We all are forced to wait and see at this point. You know, it's not something I can voluntarily do.
I think there'll be a lot of conversations around the dinner table and Thanksgiving tomorrow like that, where just awkward silences and who people voted for.
I think so, because it's scary.
It's still
it really is
on
scary.
Everybody's minds. Yeah.
By the way, I've got a tip coming up.
Okay. Really?
Yes. Daily Show put together a little thing that they want everybody to watch and understand when they get together with their families over the holiday season.
All right. That's coming up. It's the Dom Salvia Show. John and Gordy filling in. You can call us 855-752-4842. We're coming right back on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're an organ donor, right? Well, here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. HeroicDeed.com.
It's the Dom Salvia Show. John and Gordy in the morning, filling in
the afternoon.
That's right. We're broadcasting from Madison.
So we did two shows today. We get paid double today? Or is that the way that works?
No.
Plus holiday pay?
I think.
Plus
maybe.
Bonus?
I don't know.
No?
We should push for that. It's too late to do that.
Okay.
It's way too late to do that.
Well, we thank for Dom for letting us fill in.
Yeah.
Oh, he was happy to have an extra day for Thanksgiving.
Happy to have a day off.
Yeah.
Well,
that's fantastic.
Is he back tomorrow? For Thanksgiving?
No, we have a special episode tomorrow. It is mostly some new pre-recorded content with a little bit of a replay of an excellent interview that we did yesterday, tacked on to the end. And then on Friday, I will be guest hosting the Dom Salvia Show.
Wow.
Absolutely, I will be. And Mr. Zommers, Todd Alba's producer, will be joining me. And we will also be hearing from Greg Bach, producer for Up North News and co-host of Matt and Air on Air, for a special Oops All Producers episode of the Dom Salvia Show.
Oops. That really does sound like fun. Really
producers
does.
Are taking over on Friday. Well, good for you. That'll be a great time.
Yeah.
All right.
Now let's get to a little tip here, you know, for getting together in the holiday season here. The Daily Show had their
take on it.
Because
you would know. Oh, yeah.
Well, yeah, it was a nightmare for me. And
If only you had had this tip from John Stewart.
If only I had known.
Yeah.
This is the way to do it if you have problems at dinner, Thanksgiving or Christmas, whatever happens.
Or whatever holiday.
This is the way to deal with it. They have the solution. Let's listen to the Daily Show cut right now, all right?
Sorry, what was that number?
Oh,
stand by.
That was 179.
There we go.
179.
Yep.
Oh, goodness. I swear I had it. All right, let's go.
Leslie Jones will come to your house and politely interject when the conversation becomes political.
I'm just thankful that Roe v. Wade was finally overturned.
That's the conversation you want to start right now at this table while everybody's happy during Thanksgiving. While we trying to be happy. You know what? Have some dry-ass turkey. And shut
It's insane.
The way I see it is your generation are all a bunch of lazy socialists.
Who is you calling lazy? You can't even bring proper pie to Thanksgiving. And stop kissing the kids in the mouth. That's nasty.
And if that doesn't work, Leslie goes back to basics.
I'll just say, these transgender people.
Can I have some of that?
I feel as
excited.
And that's the solution. Oh. Just loud screaming
just
in their
scream
ear.
Scream and yell.
That's it. Yep. Oh, well, she's crazy, though. I mean, she used to be on Saturday Night Live.
I know.
Yeah. Yeah. Fantastic
Hilarious.
Stuff. Okay, now this is a normal everyday get together. You know, the pundits get together around a table on CNN and they talk politics, right? And there's a conservative at this table. I don't know who he is. I don't know, but he always gets ripped somehow by some of the guests on that table. They they talk to him. Don't raise your eyebrows to me. Don't furrow your forehead to me, and you know, don't say dear to any of my guests. So this guy is always getting, you know, hit for something. And I don't feel sorry for him. He's a conservative. But when you got to listen to this guy, this is almost like a comedy bit.
Okay.
Because they're talking about fentanyl at the border, right? So he always takes it to this extreme. He makes something up. And it leaves the guests and the other hosts kind of taken aback. So let's just look at it as a comedy bit for somebody, you know, trying to make the conversation difficult for everybody else. Let's listen to this cut. It's cut 180.
It's national security, and it's this poison that is killing American people all over this country.
I 100% agree. Like, the fentanyl epidemic is horrible. It's tragic. We need to do
something
about
it. And China's part of it as well. And they're part of it as well.
You know that there actually was bipartisan legislation intended to increase our fentanyl detection technologies at the border, and Trump killed it. That was the bipartisan border bill that Trump basically unilaterally killed.
I know, you keep fighting these old battles.
It's Donald not an Trump, old battle. You're saying it's a current
issue. Over it.
No,
Donald Trump
you're
won,
saying it's a current
and he wants,
issue.
And
I'm
he
saying
wants
we have a
the border secured.
That's the solution
he,
to
but
it.
But he wants the
Mexican. That's the solution
It's not
to
the
it.
Only solution, because Mexico has to do something.
They
it's
have
coming
been doing
up their
something.
Country and right over our border.
Do you know what, do you
they
know
do nothing. It's a crisis. They do nothing.
Do you know what's happened to border crossings in the last year? They've gone down by about 75%.
It's a crisis. If you want to argue that it's safe and secure your that's
I didn't
crazy
say that. I didn't say
they've
that
they got it act they've
Scott,
got
I didn't say that I'm saying
it's down 75%.
Yeah,
but it's a crisis. It's just weird, the whole thing. It's just, it stretches the imagination. I'll tell you what, let's take a phone call right now. We have Joe. Thanks for giving us a call today.
I appreciate it, and you're doing, of course, a fantastic job. I wanted to respond with an immense gripe, but a possible solution, and that was in your first hour, you had comments from the quivering worm, J.D. Vance, and he was using the terminology of America's heartland, which is, I don't know about you guys, but when somebody starts using the words America's heartland, I just want to take out my fist and knock their choppers out. I find it the most bogus marketing, you know, ridiculous term ever. Like, there is one part of the country that is the heartland and the rest is, I don't know, America's hangnail or something, you know, that doesn't count
right,
at
exactly.
all.
Right, exactly.
You know, I mean, the coast, we don't want to deal with them. We don't want to deal with cities. You know, that's elitist, blah, blah, blah. And I find it such phony baloney. Either we're all Americans or we're not. And this idea that they're somehow more, just better. They're just better and pure and just better in the central part of the country. I just find obnoxious. And it's just like, farmers are better. Well, they don't have farmers in California. I think they do. But I just, in this time, I just wanted to offer, especially because it's just such a sad time and dispiriting. And there is a wonderful short film that your folks can find during if you want to take a break from the relatives for a little bit, it's called The Boat Lift. You can find it on YouTube. It's about 12 minutes long. And again, it's called The Boat Lift on YouTube. And it's the most upbeat, heartwarming piece of America that I've heard or seen in ages. It's a short film narrated by Tom Hanks. And it's this little piece of history that I was completely unaware of, which is after 9/11, that day, Manhattan's an island, and Manhattan, the island, was shut down. The tunnels were closed, the roads were closed, and you had thousands and tens of thousands of people who were stranded on Manhattan and had no idea how they were going to get home and were frightened. They'd been through something absolutely terrible and had no idea if this was just the first opening salvo in a, you know, a war against that island, that place in our country. And the film looks at the fact, okay, how are these people going to get out of there? And so what happened was the Coast Guard put out I'm not telling, you know, giving it away. You can definitely see many more twists and turns. But the bulk of it is the Coast Guard sent out a notice and said, any boats that are free, please come help. There were hundreds that responded, hundreds. Mm. They were tugboats, they were pleasure boats, and they came and they took people home. It was became the largest boat lift in history, period. This is America, not this garbage that we're going through right now. This is America. And if you're feeling down and feeling like, what is happening to my country, I just would encourage you anybody to give a look at it. It's about 12 minutes long. The film is called The Boat Lift, narrated by Tom Hanks, and you can find it on YouTube. So happy Thanksgiving, all, and let's just keep watching out for each other because we are going to make it through otherwise. So,
oh, I know.
Thanks,
I know,
Joe.
All right, thanks for the review as well. Yeah, we'll have to check that out.
I will put that into the show notes if you want to go find that at civicmedia.us/shows. Search for The Dom Salvia Show. You can also find those podcast notes at Spotify or Apple Podcast.
All right. Mm-hmm.
Good enough. And we're still taking your calls and texts at 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC. We're going to talk about the hardest town to spell.
Hardest town to spell. I just found this to be kind of interesting because, you know, my relatives live up north and I thought spelling a town up north is probably really, really difficult because it's hard to say a lot of the names up there.
There's a lot
much less spelling them.
All over the state.
Right.
Not just up north.
And so it's Wyawega.
That's it. Huh?
That's the hardest town to spell. In Wisconsin. we're really getting down to the brass tacks here, aren't we?
Oh, just an odd item.
1,790 people live there. It's located halfway between Wisconsin Dells and Green Bay. Mm-hmm. Wyawega means where we rest.
Okay.
I guess it was hard to say, so they said Wyawega.
Wyawega.
Why we rest. Say that faster a few times.
But that's the hardest one to spell.
Yeah, yeah, that is. And I just thought, well, they call it Wega or Wega. I'm not sure what they say up there.
Mm.
All right. But having been a resident of Milwaukee for the first 30 years of my life, we had a department store there in Milwaukee by the name of Treasure Island.
Okay.
They had a squiggly roof. And, which was really problematic when it rained and snow piled up on it because it would just pile up and it would leak badly.
It would freeze up anybody get hurt with ice flying off of that thing?
But they shouldn't have had the squiggly part all across the store. You know, should you like just the frontage.
Okay.
You know, they could have had a squiggly roof on the front just to get the point across, right?
All right. Odd.
So I'd like to have you queue up 174 for me. And this is an ad put together by Treasure Island. I don't know if they were statewide or not, but they were very local. And this ad played off the different names of the cities in Wisconsin. Let's hear it.
Coggin, they prefer Mequonago or Peshtigo, and so do I.
Oh, come off it. Peshtigo isn't even as good as Noka Bay or even Little Suamico.
Oh, look, you go to Namacoggin. I'll go to Peshtigo. Mom and Daddy have always gone to Wyalushing. This year, they said it was Pokigama or Peshtigo. No, wait a minute. It was Muscadet they were talking. No, Ashwaheno. Wait a minute.
Well, wherever you paddle your canoe this summer or wherever you camp, you'll find everything you need under the squiggly roof of Gamo.
There it is. Now, wow. Yeah, I managed to get that commercial because I sat next to my tape recorder constantly all day long and night recording off the radio.
Wow.
Yeah.
Got a little piece of history. Yeah. Explains a lot.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I know. That's locked sad. Away in my room drawing comic books.
Look where it got you.
I know. Yeah. I know. Big fan of Marvel.
Again, I'm a big fan of this Deer Hunters Roundup. I want to mention this again because this is really something that is taken off.
Well, please do.
50 years it's been on the radio station way up north here. It's I just had it right in front of me. If you go to the Civic Media app, you can find it, civicmedia.us. And they're doing this all the way through deer hunting season. So for another, several nights, seven or eight nights, I think. And this is just a great thing. They have the podcast at civicmedia.us. All these deer hunters telling their deer hunting stories with all their code names for wherever they're
hunting
from. And
that's what I'm going to be listening for.
Yeah.
The names of their show. The names of their deer camps.
Exactly.
I can't imagine what they're talking about, what they're saying. I mean, obviously, there's some intoxication involved.
Maybe.
Some drinking.
It's WCQM 98.3, 6 to 8 p.m. So you can listen to it, on
live,
the Civic Media.
On the Civic Media app.
Yep. And 25 years, Joel Karnick has been hosting this. 25 years.
I know.
That's amazing. So tune that in. Check it out. That's our recommendation. Well,
that's a long time to host that show.
It's been on for 50 years. Yeah. He's hosted it for half of that time.
I bet he has some stories to tell.
You think?
Well,
fabulous.
I haven't heard it, so I wish I could talk about it.
Well, you can find it on the podcast.
What could they talk about at these deer camps? Oh,
are you kidding me? There's all kinds of stories.
Is it?
All
really?
Kinds. Yeah, we got to check it out.
All right.
All right.
Not Hunter myself, so I wouldn't know.
Okay. Hey, we're coming back with tidbits, odds and ends. Oh, a few leftovers.
We've got a great comedy bit from Britain. You got to check this thing out.
All right. It's John and Gordy in for Dom Salvia on the Dom Salvia Show, Civic Media Radio Network. We're coming right back.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
All right. John and Gordy filling in for Dom Salvia today. And we're going to close out the show with a couple of entertaining little cuts.
Yeah.
All right.
Something to put a smile on your face.
Well, that's what I'm thinking as you go
out. Grandma's house.
Yeah.
For Thanksgiving.
Worried about meeting your relatives who may have voted for Trump.
Yeah. So this should do it. This should lighten the load a little bit. Huh?
That's right. I think this will help a lot. I mean,
well, what do you got here?
You know, a lot of people have tweeted in the past, and they've said some very nasty things. We know that J.D. Vance said some very nasty things about Trump. Now he's a vice president.
Yeah. RFK Jr.
Nasty things.
Yeah.
Terrible things.
Horrible stuff.
So.
Yeah.
This British prime minister is being confronted by things he tweeted in the past by the. By the media, this is a comedy bit. It's not real.
This is not real.
Yeah,
okay.
I only found that out at the end of the bit because the guy says, "Well, aren't you going to change your profile picture?" And it's a picture of him holding a sign saying Trump is a C word. Okay.
Oh, well, that.
But when he looked down and he's changing that on screen, I thought, this is a joke. But anyway, check it out. This is fantastic stuff. I think you'll like it.
So, Minister, Donald Trump is president-elect once again. What are your thoughts on his emphatic win?
Well, look, obviously, I congratulate Donald Trump on his victory, and I look forward to working with his administration over the next 4 years.
You've got some bridges to build with him, though, haven't you, given that in January 2017 you said, Donald Trump is a neo-Nazi and a disgusting sexual predator. God help the United States.
The Prime Minister and I have already had several meetings with President Trump in order to maintain a healthy relationship that benefits both countries, and I think that's what's important right now.
When you met the President, did he mention this tweet you wrote back in March 2017 when you said, how can anyone spend time with Donald Trump and not come to the conclusion that he's an unscrupulous, egotistical, misogynistic fascist? God, I hate him.
What I'm focused on is making sure that our strong working relationship with the United States continues under President Trump and his team.
Even though you said this in July 2017, Donald Trump is contemptible, vile and odious, a tornado of corruption and depravity in a flappy blue suit. He makes me sick.
Donald Trump is a man who speaks as he finds, but I think that it's important that we find some common ground in the national interest, and that's what myself and the Prime Minister are focused on doing in the coming months.
So presumably you no longer think what you tweeted in December 2017 when you said, anyone who tries to forge working relationships with Trump is an unprincipled, morally bankrupt charlatan who should be treated with contempt and total disdain. I don't care who you are, if you want to work with that fascist monster, you're a piece of shit.
The transatlantic relationship is one of the most important relationships that the UK has, and I don't think that bringing up tweets that I posted several years ago should have any bearing on what we're trying to achieve today.
Even though you said in January 2018...
Oh, God.
Don't ever forget these things I'm saying about Donald Trump. Seriously, if you find me reeling off some spurious bullshit in years to come about looking forward to working with Donald Trump because he's been re-elected, God forbid, then take it as read that I've sold my soul for the sake of my political career and should be kicked in the face for the rest of my life by the people who voted for me.
So much has changed in 8 years, and I think that it's incumbent upon us to extend the hand of friendship to President Trump for the sake of national and financial security.
OK, if that's the case, perhaps you should also change your profile photo.
there you look down and he's going to change it online.
Oh, that's it.
It's fantastic stuff. That's it.
Beautiful.
All right.
Beautiful.
Yeah, it was a great bit. It really was. Mm. We're all guilty of that.
Yeah.
I did send you Weisenheimer cut.
I've got
it. Okay, fantastic. But first, we want to get to something that, the grift continues. And boy, I think Trump is going to be very wealthy by the end of his 4 years.
You think so?
Well, he's selling the watches for $100,000, but there's no guarantee.
Yeah.
No, there's no guarantee they're going to mail them out. Okay, so you know that he's taking bribes.
Mm.
That's what those watches are about. They're not making the watches. He's just taking $100,000 watch money.
Oh man!
All right, and now he's selling a guitar.
Yeah, it's an electric guitar, and it's a complete ripoff of a Gibson Les Paul. I mean, it's an exact ripoff.
Yes,
copy.
You noticed that immediately when I showed you the picture.
You showed me the picture a few days ago, and he's done that. And Gibson is famous for being extremely protective of the copyrights and all the patents on the Gibson Les Paul guitar. Yeah. Of course, Les Paul from Waukesha, Wisconsin. Inventor of the electric guitar, whether it was him or Leo Fender, there's always a debate of who had it first.
But doesn't it make it legal? I mean, so what if they copy it? You know, it's got Trump's signature on it. Oh, it's got to be okay then.
No,
right?
It's not okay at all. And Gibson is laying down the law, and they're issued a cease and desist.
All right.
Of course, we know how much that's going to be paid attention to by Trump. But,
well, we'll see.
Yeah.
We'll wait and see.
Wait
on that.
And see.
All right, folks.
See what happens.
We've had a lot of fun here today filling in for Dom.
We thank him.
He'll be back after the holidays, of course, and we'll be back in the morning show on Monday.
And Jess, thank you.
Yeah, thank you very much, Jess.
Thank
being with
you.
Us this evening. And tomorrow there's going to be a special Dom Salvia show.
That's correct. Right. Dom and I will be coming to you pre-recorded tomorrow, and then you'll be with me on Friday for Oops All Producers.
Excellent.
Oops.
Should be a lot of fun.
Thank you so much, John and Gordy.
Let's play the Weisenheimers out with a special cut of the Packers Go Packers.
Well, we're actually going out with some Beatles. Come together.
Okay.
That's fine. And thanks to Dom Salvia again for letting us fill in. And everybody here at the Civic Media
thanks
Radio
for the calls
Network.
And texts.
Yeah. We'll talk to you Monday in Madison.
Happy Thanksgiving, everyone.
So long. Come together.
the national news cycle never stops. But it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.